Now, this was an innocent comment, to be sure. My sweet granny meant no harm by it, and the whole family laughed it off as a cute observation. Except the comment soon took on a life of its own. Sometimes it was retold for its own sake, but most of the time it had a reference. Any time from there on out, what do you think was said when my brother did something creative or constructive with his hands? You know, Granny always said that Jay would end up making a living with his hands. What do you think was told at family gatherings every time I did something outstanding in school? Well, you know, Granny always said that Hal would end up making a living with his mind. Here we are, over 30 years later. Do I even need to tell you that my brother has worked in several hands-on occupations? As for me, Granny wasn't too far off. I'm a family therapist. I work with other people's minds. Am I saying this is all Granny's doing? Of course not, but there is magic at work here. All of us can cite one example of a similar story with similar results. Although it's very difficult to determine how much influence such stories and labels have on us, we cannot deny one thing. They are powerful. Let me say a word here about extended family. It's very important to surround new parents with support, but often this very support is a potential minefield of conflict. I once watched a new grandfather with his daughter and her first child, a six-month-old boy. The baby was fussy around feeding time and was not taking to the bottle of formula. The mother tried several tactics to feed her son without much success. In disgust, her father barked, "I don't know why you don't just give the kid cow's milk. It worked just fine for you when you were a baby." The new mother replied that it's been known for a while now that infant stomachs are not ready for cow's milk until a year old. But her claims went unnoticed. "It worked just fine for you. It'll work for this kid," her father insisted. So, let's see. Since this new mother was a baby, we've landed a man on the moon, put a computer in nearly every home in America, and connected the world through an invisible network of technology. But we've made no advances whatsoever in understanding the nutritional requirements of infants. Here's the difficulty. Whenever we choose any method of parenting that differs from how our parents raised us, we risk indicting them and their effectiveness as parents. Yes, a scream-free guide to leaving mom and dad is on its way. And yes, scream-free grandparenting is in the works as well. Until then, know this. People love to categorize, compare, and contrast. For some reason, it helps parents and their extended families feel as if they know their children. And we love to know our children. After all, what kind of parents would we be if we didn't? We've weathered the storms of the dinner table and the bedtime blues. So as they venture out into the world, say for a sleepover, we arm the unsuspecting family with a list. They're finicky, you know, we warn. This list may include sleeping habits, the order of bedtime rituals, and an extensive list of their favorite foods. When they come home saying all went well, and they even ate green beans for dinner, we find ourselves putting them back into place. "But you don't like green beans!" As if their palates are already determined, as if we are the gatekeepers to any new preferences. Why do we do this? Because in our anxiety, we love to prophesize, to categorize, and to label. It helps us give some structure to our world. It helps us to feel involved, on top of things, and capable of handling whatever unknowns lie around the corner. But what does it do to our children? Are all labels damaging? Here's a radical idea for you. What you say about your kids is more important than what you say to them. Sounds strange, but it's true. In this light, how powerful do even seemingly harmless phrases such as daddy's girl and mama's boy become? Think for a second about the implied meanings behind such phrases. Daddy's girl. Really? Does he own her? Will she continue to be his when she becomes a teenager, an adult, a spouse, a parent? When does she become her own? Does she ever? And let's take a look at mama's boy. How do you suppose that would affect a boy's sense of self or masculinity? We may toss these labels around in all innocence and affection, but they hold incredible power in the lives of our families. Think about some of the labels we mentioned earlier. Funny, say, and hardworking. These don't sound like such bad qualities to have. Well, they're not. In fact, they're great qualities. But they are horrible labels. Why? Your child overhears you say, "Megan is such a clown all the time. She's always making us laugh and really livens things up around here." If Megan hears this enough, what she will learn is this. My job in this family is to make people laugh. Even if I don't feel like it, I have to try my best to be funny. I heard Mom say so herself. I liven up the place.